and Steve.
Good morning, everybody. You have to excuse us if we sound a little out of breath. We just got back from a concert with our favorite 80s band, the Spicy Noodles.
And it's snowing.
Is it?
Yay!
Yeah.
The first snow of the season.
The first flakes of the season
the
and
flakes.
Us.
Hello! Wait a minute now. It wasn't snowing when we got here,
yeah.
Dan. Is it snowing downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just big old
just
fat
a little bit.
Flakes. Fat.
Okay.
Well, at least it looked like snow. Big fat flakes. Try to say that quickly.
That was my big, flat big fat flakes. That was my morning zoo name in
was
college.
It?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, that's Steve and Johnny. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
All right.
So on Facebook, it popped up this morning. It was 6 years ago tonight that you started your final full week on WGN.
That I started my final film.
No,
that we started.
Oh, that we, oh, you guys.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
You got scared.
Wait a minute. What happened? Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Did I miss a memo?
Yeah.
So this was 6 years ago?
It was six years ago, 2011,
yeah,
December.
So we announced that we would be working for another week, and we were going to party for that week. And
yeah.
Dan was with us. And
Dan, I remember that.
Dan, do you remember all the calls and texts we got that night when we made the announcement?
Right, because we had just. You guys had cut a promo that was very vague. Remember
yes, cryptic.
That?
Yeah. Yes.
And we ran that all weekend. And,
yes.
What was the promo?
Well, the bizarre thing was people actually thought I was pregnant, for God's sake. Please. I'm, you know, an old lady. I'm like, really?
Not so much.
So we
was
were
just something along the lines of like, you know, we'll have an announcement about the show.
Oh,
yes.
That's going to make people crazy.
I don't even think we said the show. I think we had the big announcement and we were very upbeat, because when in this business has anyone ever been given a week to say goodbye on the radio? It just doesn't happen. And we were told, take a budget, fly people in, eat every night, party, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And it was a smart move because, you know, they learned from another duo that had been let go unceremoniously that the listeners didn't like that.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, we're going to let you guys, we know you're not going to go in there and burn bridges, go in there and just say goodbye if you want to. So.
And we're working on our second book. The working title is Like Life After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go into some of the more of the specifics. But as you know, that was in the dark days. Of WGN.
It was dark then, but it wasn't as dark as about a year earlier. The 2008 to 2010 was a nightmare.
Yes.
Here.
That was back in the day. That period was during the time when your the's and a's, you, Nick, were being counted by a certain someone who would sit at home and listen to you and say, well, Nick, 73 times you used the word the.
The memos that I would get. I just were unbelievable.
Did you keep them?
No.
Because Steve has them all.
Do you have all the emails and the memos?
Yes. And some of them just might surface in one form or another
in our
book.
I mean, maybe I should have kept them. There were a few that were just, and then, you know, we had an assistant PD who I had to get notes from weekly.
Yes.
Yep.
Who knew nothing. Head firmly up butt. And I would have to sit there and listen to notes from this guy. And my producer at the time was Andy Herman.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy and I would have to sit in that office and just, like, bite our lips. And, like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And you don't understand this audience. You don't understand this radio station. And I would love to kill you right now. it was a long time. It was about two. Yeah, but that was also very dark. It didn't lighten up till the Deacon got here. It got better when the Deacon came.
Well, but also one of the things that we will always say, and we're going to write about in the book, is that Tom Langmire, who was the general manager at that time, and Bill White, are two terrific people.
Absolutely,
they don't get nearly enough credit for fighting the good fight. And sort of tilting at windmills in a horrible time.
Well, you know, Langmire especially, because he, you know, when that duo that you speak of was fired, he had to take the heat for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they had people outside the Showcase studio downstairs protesting,
mm-hmm.
you know, the guys who made the decision stayed inside the tower
right.
and Tom
and
had to go out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, he fought the good fight. He brought in Bill after they got rid of the bad guys.
Yep.
And it was a transition period, you know.
Yeah.
And then it really got, I mean, like when DeCastro got here.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, became well, DeCastro got here and they gave me full time. So I was I was happy about that,
yes,
you know.
Yes. But don't forget the company was also going through bankruptcy
yes.
during that time because that's was really
it was a weird
we
time.
Were the culmination
that,
of
that was
part
the main
of,
reason that we got let go
right,
because
right,
it
right.
was, you know.
And
yeah.
and a lot of people don't know that this would well, I doubt it would still be, but there was a period where there was very serious talk of plugging in the daytime shows in the overnight hours
right.
because it was cheaper.
Yep.
You know, all it would cost you would be a producer, and if you
and
even
again,
needed
Tom
that,
Langmeier
an engineer.
Tom fought the good fight,
yeah.
saying,
said, no.
wait a minute, you're going to at least need a producer and an engineer, therefore, why not keep it live and
right.
local all night?
Right. right. Well, I mean, that's what the deal is here now, and you know, the current management that's here, Todd and everybody, it's mm-hmm. all live and local.
Oh,
yep.
sure.
I mean, that's what this station always has been and always should be.
And that is so rare, because we travel back and forth to Florida, going through six states, and there's a period when the sun goes down when you're wait a minute. This is the noon show, and it's 7 o'clock in the evening because, you know what, and in this town in Alabama, they don't have the money to plug in a live person.
Right.
So
right.
you just kind of forfeit.
Well, we're here, and it's live.
Yes.
This is not
and
on tape.
Local.
Okay, it's local, too. Steve and Johnny are here. We got some upcoming events to talk about. You guys are going to be doing your Life After Dark New Year's Eve. Cheap Date New Year's Eve.
Yep.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the book. You guys are still traveling around, talking about Les, and we'll talk about that as well. Lots to talk about. Steve and Johnny are here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And again, like I always say, I'm just filling in until they come back. That's how I'm looking at it. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text. This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are making a meal that makes you feel right at home. It's an all-new Chicago's Best comfort food, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Tomorrow.
He shoots, he scores!
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Spectacular save.
The Buffalo Sabres. The WGN pregame at 7. I'm John Weideman. Troy Murray and I will have the puck drop for you at 7:30.
On Blackhawks Radio.
Chicago's very own. 720 WGN.
It came in the mail. The return address, the IRS.
Oh, this can't be good.
You open it, and sure enough, an ultimatum.
Oh, no.
You get flush.
I'm starting to sweat.
And you set it off to the side.
Oh, I hope this goes away.
Your second notice arrives.
Oh, no.
You feel flushed.
Now I'm sweating.
And you set it off to the side.
Maybe it'll go away.
Your third notice arrives.
Oh, no.
Break the cycle. Settle your IRS debt. Call Mary Karpowitz, CEO of Comprehensive Tax Solutions, at 708-678-9141. Don't lose sleep anymore. Stop the letters. In most cases, you don't even have to talk to the IRS. Mary does it for you. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, if your wages are being levied, if the IRS has filed a lien against you, or you owe payroll taxes, call Mary Karpowitz, 708-678-9141. Mary is local and has been serving the community for over 25 years. For a free consultation, call Mary Karpowitz at Comprehensive Tax Solutions right now, 708-678-9141, or visit resolveyourtaxproblems.com.
Plan a day of fun and adventure with a trip to Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois. The Goods campus is three city blocks of over 50 brands of furniture with hundreds of styles. There's something for everyone at Goods, no matter your style or budget. It's time for the good life. That means quality furniture that tells a story. Furniture you're proud to display in your home. Browse the wide selection of good, better, and best today at goodsfurniture.com. Then leave the traffic and stoplights behind. Stop running from store to store in Chicagoland. Make the easy drive west on I-80 to Kewaunee, Illinois. Enjoy lunch in the Wine Cellar restaurant. Relax in their bed and breakfast. They've been doing it for 122 years. Goods is open every day from 9 until 6. Don't forget to visit them online right now at goodsfurniture.com. Goods, no hype, just honest to goodness value. Day in and day out.
You own a small business and wish you had additional capital for this holiday season? Well, for a lot of companies, this is make or break it time. And if you've been in business for over a year and have revenues of over $10,000 a month, you can get fast financing through Lender. With Lender, approval of funding from $10,000 to $300,000 can occur in as little as 48 hours. That's right, 48 hours, meaning it's not too late for the holidays. And with Lender, you can use the money for any business purpose. Lender specializes in helping those businesses, and they can help fast. Perhaps you need funds for additional workers or maybe to help meet payroll, additional inventory. What about marketing your business? Call Lender at 312-800-0202. The application process is simple, transparent, and fast. They're local in Chicago. Give them a call. They're at 312-800-0202. That's 312-800-0202. Quick funds to help your small business grow. Don't survive. Thrive with Lender. 312-800-0202.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. And
what do you think that is?
You?
No. I wish.
Who is that?
This is an extraordinary local performer, Joel Patterson.
Okay.
He's just come out. This is a brand
That's
new
a new
album.
CD?
This
That's
is a brand,
brand
new CD.
He
just did it.
No, it looks like something from the 50s.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Look at the font. He designs
everything.
He
copies the old Mercury Records way of putting out albums.
Down to the font. Down to the logo for
that
the
is
company,
so cool.
Isn't it? And he's paying tribute to Les Paul on this. So all the Christmas music, that's all Joel. Every guitar part
wow.
is him.
Everything you hear is Joel.
And he's doing it the way Les would do it with track on top of track on top of track.
We were at his CD release party at Space Up in Evanston.
Oh, yeah. Great
last
place.
Wednesday.
And Joel is just an extraordinary guy. You should get him in the studio.
He's yeah, I'd love to have him in. This is this album, the design of this is amazing.
Yeah.
He's got a few guitars on the back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, Dan knows
it's on,
Joel.
It's on Ventrilo Records. It's distributed through Bloodshot Records.
Right. And, Dan, you know Joel through the Modern Sounds and the famous Bacon,
and Bacon
Fat.
Bacon Fat.
Which was a very popular song on the All Night Show. They did it live in studio with us. And that's a stand-up bass, a good old-fashioned stand-up bass. Mm-hmm. And we had live drums in here. And Joel has about six or seven different groups that he performs with. He's at Simon's two Wednesdays a month with the Western Elstons.
Oh, he's with the Western Elstons. Then I must, yeah. I must have crossed paths with him.
And
I must have.
That also on Sunday nights, he's at the Green Mill.
Every Sunday night.
Oh, then I'm sure I've crossed paths with him.
Yeah.
Western Elstons, has he been doing that for years at Simon's?
Years.
Okay,
it's
well, then
group.
I definitely know him. I definitely know him.
Yeah.
Let me see the picture again.
He's a young guy, looks very retro, like he stepped right out of the 50s.
And he literally...
Yeah, I know him.
He's world-renowned. He goes over to Europe and does rockabilly and jazz tours. He's just an incredible musician.
Cool. We got a break.
Sure.
We have news. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
News?
Yes. We got to take a break for news. Steve and Johnny are here, and we'll get into more fun stuff coming up right here on 720 WGN after this break.
It follows me when I'm away. It leads me back again. The sound that always sounds like home is WGN.
Welcome back, everybody.
Now the years roll on.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Steve and Johnny are here in studio with me. We're going to just hang out and talk. You guys don't mind staying until like 4, do you?
No.
Okay, great.
5 with us.
Tell everybody who that was.
That was the amazing Bob Young.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we lost Bob
two years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What an incredibly talented guy. And you talk about Christmas songs. Bob's Christmas in Chicago was one of those songs that we had to play every year.
Yeah.
Just a great little kind
he
of a doo-wop-y thing.
A fabulous songwriter and really should have.
That was him at the top of the show, too.
Yeah.
He should have had a lot of success. The WGN song, you know, I was doing traffic for Bob Collins the first time that song played on this radio station, and Bob Collins literally wept.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at Bob crying, and I was, it's just so poignant.
Yeah.
It's so. it's so right. I mean, people who grew up listening to this radio station, as you did, you cannot not hear it and feel something.
Yeah.
And he tapped into that so beautifully.
He was a great guy.
And thankfully, before he passed away, WGN Radio purchased that song from him to be used in advertisements.
Right.
So that was kind of a little cherry on top of his career.
He was a great guy, and he was, you know, I mean, he was a regular caller on my show as well, and had him on many times.
You.
Yeah, he was a great guy, very very talented and a great guy. So Steve and Johnny are here. You guys have been keeping busy.
Yes.
And you had some
book signing last week, right?
Yeah,
nice.
We had a full house out in
McHenry,
Illinois.
I'm sorry, folks, but McHenry's the end of the world. And I cannot believe that we had a producer, Bob Kessler, who's now in the newsroom, who traveled from McHenry every night to do our show. We were driving there, and I said, dear God, he did not get paid enough to make this trip.
There were times while we were driving out there and coming back.
It was dark.
That we felt we'd just driven into a Stephen King movie down this dark street, and you have to turn.
You're on the country. So we had this fabulous turnout of people, and we met people that the one guy, Ken Fredrickson, came out to see us. I've been sending Ken a Christmas card for 25 years, never laid eyes on the man, and there he was. And he goes, look, we've been communicating every Christmas.
Yeah. And do you guys enjoy doing the book signings?
Oh, absolutely.
And the appearances and stuff?
It is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. We talk about Les Paul. We talk about our book. But then, obviously, people who come out are GN fans. They have questions. And we let them ask absolutely anything they want to ask. Mm-hmm. And there's always kind of a theme. You know, do I still have my year-round tree?
Yeah. Is everybody, yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Is everybody in the radio the same as they are in real life? Yes, they are. You know?
And people want to know, you know, what's Spike doing? And
Spike is doing a lot of smoking meats, barbecuing, and hanging out in Tennessee.
Did you see that picture he did? What was it? A barbecued ribs?
Yeah.
Earlier this week?
Oh no! Every time he posts something food related, it's ridiculous.
It is food porn.
Yeah.
If Facebook starts smell-o-vision, we're in trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now Spike, you know Spike and I communicate via Facebook and social media and stuff, and he still likes to zing me every once in a while because. You know, Spike and I had it. Well, Spike and I got along famously. Yeah. Spike did with
everybody.
He was just one of the greatest guys ever. And I remember when Magnolia came out, when the movie came out, which is now, you know, as you guys know, my favorite movie of all time. And Spike hated it. He hated it so much that anytime, and the movie came out in 1999, okay? And so anytime I mention Magnolia or post a picture of Magnolia or make a reference to Magnolia on my Facebook page, Spike's got to go in there and goes, you're nuts, man. Like every single time he's got to get in there and do that.
But you've got to know a little backstory, too. It's the flower of Tennessee. He lives in Tennessee.
Yeah.
His wife has them all over the house.
Yeah.
So as much as he hates the movie, he probably thinks of you when he looks at them.
Oh, no question about it. It's funny, though, because like when the movie came out and I recommended it, you know, I gave it a great review. And at that time, that was when Roy had retired, and John Williams was doing Saturday Morning.
Right.
So I reviewed the movie with Williams, and John and I reviewed it that morning. And then Spike, I remember Spike on the air like the next week was like, they called me and got me on the air so that Spike could yell at me.
I remember.
So you recommended this movie. It's 3 hours long and frogs fall out of the sky. What is that? No, it's good. You keep up with a lot of the people that we worked with.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Kessler's doing a lot of gigs.
Is he?
With his harmonica.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's worked with Great Moments in Vinyl, which is this incredible group of musicians that every month or so do a tribute to another band.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did a Stones gig. They played Sticky Fingers. And what was the other one, Dan? Was it Some Girls?
Some Girls.
Some Girls and Sticky Fingers. Mm. And he was there and did all the harmonica parts.
Yeah.
And,
for people that don't know, Bob Kessler, along with being a terrific guy and a great producer, is one of the most amazing people I ever met. He would come in the studio and say, you know, I think I'm going to learn clarinet.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, he had clarinet.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to learn harmonica. Next week, he's got harmonica.
Yeah.
He
came to me one day and he said, I want to bake. And I said, you want a bag? He goes, then I have nothing. I don't even have a spatula.
Am I nuts? Didn't he just get, didn't he just become a Buddhist?
He did.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember seeing, the guy does everything.
Yeah.
He just has interests in everything does it.
He's a very old soul, too.
Yeah. He's a great guy. How long did he produce for you?
Oh, he came back twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We didn't scare him off.
How many producers did you guys have over the years?
Oh, that's
Can you remember them all?
No,
okay.
No, we really did
no.
Not. No.
No, I don't remember.
No, I don't want to remember some. We probably at least had 20, 25 producers.
Yeah. Oh, you got to. I mean, you guys did it for such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who
was the best?
Dan.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, there's
and your point is?
Absolutely. Followed by Steve Buckman and Bob Kessler. So that's the trifecta.
Yeah.
If you had to have three producers to take you through thick
Buck was good, man.
Buck was good.
Paula produced for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Paula Cooper produced for you.
Did I kind of think of her as news.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, eventually she went into the newsroom.
Well, that's when Paula got the nickname Colonel Cooper.
Right.
Because she would go after a story, and she would get the story. Mm-hmm. The classic example was the night there was some
bombing in Saudi Arabia.
And Paula's making calls like crazy. Long story short, we scooped the Today Show. We got the general who was going to go on the Today Show a couple hours later.
You're kidding.
No.
And Paula was able to cut through and get right to him.
And we got him on the air, and he's talking to us. And we got home. We turned on the television. We said, oh, now they've handled him. Now he's not talking off the cuff. Now he's got this, you know, he knew
that's
what he
cool.
was going to say. And we said, well, wait a minute. We've got this unedited, he's kind of free-flowing stream of consciousness. He's looking at what just happened and talking.
Yeah.
And we went, whoa, this is pretty amazing.
And I'm trying to remember producers that you guys had.
Hollywood Harris.
Hollywood Harris.
That's right. Denise Rubicki.
Yeah, Denise Rubicki, yeah.
Who was before Denise? It was another. Katie Steele.
Katie Steele.
She was awesome.
Sure.
Katie was cool.
Katie kind of brought in Dan.
Katie brought in you?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She trained me on the show.
Katie's great, man.
Yeah.
Katie was great.
Because,
you know, I mean, I would fill in with you guys, for you guys during those time periods.
You never worked with Gloria. God bless Gloria. Gloria left our show to go to the Jenny Jones show. And Gloria.
About a month after she left to go to the Jenny Jones show, she calls us.
No, wait, you have to back up and say, Gloria was very, very religious. She was in a gospel group,
Why am I not remembering her? What years are we talking about? Because I did your show from like 86 on, so.
I honestly think Dean was filling in during the time Gloria was with us. They tried to force Dean to work.
Yeah, no. I didn't start filling in for you guys until the late 90s
This would have been early 90s.
No.
Jenny Jones was really popular then.
Yeah.
And we get a call from Gloria, and she's in a panic.
And she's in a phone booth.
This is a very religious girl. The Jenny Jones show sent her out.
With a wad of cash.
With a wad of cash, and wanted her to bring back some whips and chains and other things. And she says,
Where do we go?
And we said, okay, go grab a cab driver.
Ask him.
She did, and she got the whips and chains and everything.
They were doing a show on bondage. And I honestly, to this day, I think it was a test. They wanted to see if they...
She would quit?
Yeah. If the church girl could come through.
If she could come through, okay.
And if she could come through, then she could move up a notch, you know, as a producer.
I want to talk more about this, but we've had somebody on hold for a little while. Trucker Rich is on the line. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
I've always been an overnight fan, and it's great hearing you guys again.
Well, thank you, Rich.
And I was telling Dan that the other day before I went to sleep, because I go to sleep in the afternoon, there's a program on the History Channel called Counting Cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like
it. It's got a guy that's out in Vegas that builds custom cars and choppers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, this is ironic. I heard you guys mention Les Paul just as I got out of the dead zone over here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, the other day they had an episode where two guys from the Les Paul Foundation
mm-hmm.
went out there and build the custom tribute chopper.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And it's a beautiful Harley that was built basically designed for the Les Paul Foundation.
What's it look like?
Right.
It's black and it's shiny, and you can tell that it's a guitar on the side.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And that was on the show, Rich? It was featured on the show?
Yeah. On the back fender, the guy that builds the bikes and paints them, he cut out the fender and got some the black wood that they use on the necks.
Yeah.
And then found somewhere, he said, on the internet, people that actually had Les Paul mother of pearl. What do you call those things?
The fret inlays?
Inlay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he actually inlaid that into the wood
and,
you know, just did all kinds of custom touches and, you know, little volume knobs on on the rocker boxes for the motor, and it was a picture of Les probably in his early 40s, painted on a tank.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and his signature's on the side of the guitar. And,
that's very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
On the motorcycle. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Rich.
Just cool bike, and just good hearing you guys again.
Thank you, Rich. Nice
thanks a lot, Rich.
You.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
You too. Merry Christmas.
See
you.
All right.
There you go. All right, Rich. Okay, so let's get back to talking about the, you guys and your producers and your shows in the past, because I love reminiscing about this. I'm trying to remember, you know, some of the other producers that you guys had.
There was one producer, and this is kind of a sad story, Greg. What was Greg's last name?
We were over on Bradley Place when we first started at WGN.
Hernandez.
Greg Hernandez was our producer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember him.
And Greg produced our show, and he was also producing Eddie Schwartz's show. He,
right.
Ultimately, when Spike Odell was hired, he was producing Spike's show. And we would drive Greg home, kind of like you and Dan.
Yeah.
Greg didn't have a car. He lived on the north side of Chicago, so we would take him home.
And there was this one week that Greg said he needed to talk to us. And we took him over to McDonald's for breakfast.
We went to McDonald's and we ate.
And he was really down because of budgetary things. He'd been told he wasn't going to be with the station all that long.
And he wanted to be with the station for 10 years so he could be vested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were union at the time. He was saying, if you could go in there and ask them to let me stick around for a couple more months, I'll have 10 years under my belt.
And he had always been interested in the lottery.
Played it every week because he was one of like eight kids, right?
Yeah. And long story short, roughly a week after we had this conversation, he won $40 million.
Yeah.
And he called us up at one point and he said, you guys were so nice to me. He said, I'd like to send you anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And we said, no, thank you. Just stay our friend. There are going to be enough people that are going to come after
you for
money.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sad thing is that, unfortunately, Greg wound up...
passed away very young.
Yeah.
He was only... if he was 40, I'd be surprised.
Wow.
But it was sad. Some of the stories that he told us about people who came out of the woodwork...
You can imagine.
...were now suddenly his best
friends
because he had $40
million. And he became very isolated because of that. And it caused a big rift in his family because, you know, well, this family member wasn't good to you. Well, why are you giving them money? Well, you got $40 million.
The pressure's I can't even imagine. Yeah, I know that story. I remember that story.
Nice.
You guys hang on, okay?
Sure.
Because we got to take a break. Steve and Johnny are here. 312-981-7200 is for Talk and Text. We'll take a break and we'll come back and talk more with Steve and Johnny. Welcome back, everybody. I wish we had cameras in the studio right now because Steve is picking along with the note for note here on the fret.
He's a great air guitarist.
He's a great air guitarist.
Because he makes all those goofy faces.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you have to.
Steve and Johnny are here, and we're just having fun. Les Paul, and that was Mary Ford, and How High the Moon.
And speaking of that, can we do a blatant plug for the book?
Absolutely. I was going to segue into Les Paul talk anyway at this point. Yeah.
We wrote a book. The book is called A Little More Less, and it has to do with our 18 years that we were fortunate to have a friendship with Les Paul. It has transcripts of interviews. It has behind-the-scenes stories and photos. And basically, this was a labor of love. If you're looking for a tell-all book, this ain't it. Everybody has bad days. We just wrote about the Les Paul that we knew and had a wonderful relationship
with. It's a terrific book, by the way, for those people.
I mean, I've
read it twice, and I go back to it and read stories here and there. You can flip through it, too, like once you finish it, because, you know, the stories, you know, they're varied.
And
they tell different stories, and it's a terrific, terrific book. Great photos. It really looks good. Everything. It's a terrific book. And you guys now, it's over 2 years since that book came out.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah.
And it still keeps selling, and we still keep getting requests to do appearances.
Yeah.
And if people want to order it, they can go to A Little More Less, and spell less with one S, alittlemoreless.com, or you can call 312-912-8639. That number again, 312-912-8639.
And makes a good Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we're very happy with it.
And you can contact us on Facebook. We're very active at the Steve and Johnny Show Facebook page. And if you heard us talk about being out at the McHenry Library last week, well, coming up in the new year, we're going to continue doing library talks. Mm-hmm. And if we haven't come to your library, let us know. We'll put you in touch with our publishers, and we'll book something. We'll come out to you.
And we've also been contacted by some of the people that do some of the Chicagoland Record Collectors Conventions,
sure,
and pop culture things. So we're going, sure, to be doing some of that again in, mm-hmm, 2018. But as Johnny says, if anybody wants to get in touch with us, just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And while you're there, you could like us.
Yeah.
We'd like that. By the way, congratulations. Over 13,000. Yeah.
13,700.
But who's counting?
But who's counting? Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy. We have lots of, I mean, we do use Twitter, but it's mostly Facebook. A lot, you know, because, you know, anytime we post something on the Facebook page, it automatically gets posted on the Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if people are following us on Twitter, they're getting updates as well. But the Facebook page is where it's interactive, and, you know, we do these certain segments in the show that only if you like us on Facebook, you can see visual stuff. Like we do this thing called You Big Dummy,
mm-hmm,
which every Friday morning we read stories about dumb criminals doing really dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. And some of them come with video, and some, mm-hmm, of them come with pictures. And the only way to see it is to like us and check it out on our Facebook page. And we do a thing called Would Esmeralda Buy That?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Esmeralda has a tendency to, she has a weakness for, as seen on TV, gadgets and items. Mm-hmm. And if she had an endless supply of money, she'd buy all of that crap. So Dan gathers up a bunch of items that we read about, and then we vote on whether or not she would buy it. And in order to see the items, you have to go to our Facebook page.
And then, too, that gives you a great way to do your Christmas and birthday shopping for Esmeralda. Because,
well,
you know, if she would buy it.
But this is what we've done now over the course of time. Every time somebody's birthday, whether it be Vic in the newsroom or Esmeralda, mm-hmm, in traffic, me or Dan, we end up buying something from a previous Would Esmeralda Buy That segment,
right,
for each of us. Okay. So we all have Would Esmeralda, sure, Buy That stuff in our house. So, but yeah, it's fun. The Facebook stuff is cool. And you guys have a lot of followers on your Facebook. Facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you guys, the book is, so the book has been, I remember you guys came in August of 2015.
Before it was on the shelves.
Yeah, like right before it came out. Yeah. That was the first time that we talked about it.
And our publishers have been so surprised that usually a book has a limited shelf life. This apparently is going to have a perennial no-end shelf life.
Yeah.
So we're happy about that.
Absolutely.
In fact, Friday we may find ourselves up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, because there's going to be a ribbon cutting for the Les Paul Garage.
This is
going to
be at the Les Paul Middle School in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, the Les Paul Garage, it was named after when Les was out on the West Coast. He turned his garage into this recording studio that was rivaling Capitol and everybody else, mm-hmm, for sound quality. They're putting this garage, and they want kids to experiment and just work
just
on
different inventors.
Things.
Just be inventors. Go in there. And
tell everybody the connection between Waukesha and Les.
That's where
Les
born.
Was born.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's called the Wizard of Waukesha.
Yeah.
and it's cool that the school is named for him, and so they're going to have the ribbon cutting. And I think that's wonderful. The kids will have a place to go and be inventive.
It's really amazing.
Now,
yeah. Yeah. Really
get
amazing.
Out of your phone and do
he
stuff.
He was much more than just a musician.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I mean, much more. And you guys, you know, that's beautifully told in the book, too, through the
thank
stories
you.
And the transcripts and all that stuff. It's a terrific book. LittleMoreLess.com or 312-912-8639. We're going to take a break, guys. We got the news coming up. You guys can stick around, right?
Sure.
Okay. Steve and Johnny are here, and 312-981-7200 is the phone number and text number if you would like to join us. We'll take a break. The news is coming up next after this.
Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, y'all. I want you to give me two more, Mr. Waiter, because you know I got a whole lot on my mind.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, wow. My man Delbert.
Peter in Decatur suggested we play that. Thank
nice.
You, Peter.
Nice.
Who's
Peter.
Longtime listener of the Overnight Hours, and he contributes a lot of stuff to my mm-hmm. show, and he's great.
You need
great.
To get Delbert on.
Delbert McClinton.
Delbert McClinton has just come out with a brand new book. It's his autobiography. It's called One of the Fortunate Few. Literally this week, the book is released.
Oh, cool.
We'll give you Delbert's wife, Wendy. We'll give you the phone number. And
love to have him
on.
Huge fan.
We just saw him a couple of months ago up at Space in Evanston mm-hmm. and did a video interview with him. And he is just... Dilbert is so cool.
He's the coolest, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's absolutely. The
coolest. And the Blues Brothers need to cut a check to him every week.
Sing it. Sing it.
It's Nick DiGilio here, by the way. Those other two voices are the great Steve and Johnny. And it's always so much fun to have you guys in.
We just yammer off the air.
I know. We're just talking. I was like, oh, wait a minute. We got to go back on in the air and talk because we can't. We have to shut up and talk.
And I asked you off the air if you minded. We were doing a few blatant plugs. I would like to do a very personal blatant plug.
Yeah.
You haven't seen this yet. My brother Lee has written an extraordinary book. The book is called Safe Inside. It's published by Eckhart's Press.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to eckhartspress.com, do a search for Safe Inside.
Safe Inside.
Safe Inside.
Okay.
And it took, I'm not just saying this is good because he's my brother. It's a great book.
Nick will love it.
It took him over 10 years to write this book.
It's a memoir.
It's a kind of a fictionalized memoir. Mm-hmm. Takes place on the south side of Chicago.
Oh, really?
In the 40s.
Okay.
Safe Inside refers to, because of all the things going on in his life, and this was at a time when, growing up Catholic, you didn't talk about things like divorce or sexuality or anything else. This book deals with all of that and feeling safe inside the Avalon Movie Theater, the movie palaces around the Chicago area.
That's
so it's all
so
about the
cool
role that really movies
played
for him to escape from
we
all gotta of
get
the pressure.
You a
get me a cup, please, please.
Oh, it's really powerful.
I mean, and again, I know I'm hemming and hawing because people are going to think, oh, you're just saying that because it's your brother. No, this is a wonderful book.
Now, Safe Inside.
Mm-hmm. Is it everybody's cup of tea? Probably not because of the sexual nature of some of the things that it deals with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a problem with that, man, you're going to love this book.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, congratulations to him.
Yeah, 10 years. And he turned 80 and his book was published. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
That's pretty powerful.
That is pretty cool.
And again, it's Eckhart's Press, Eckhart's Press, and do a search for Safe Inside.
Cool. Please get me a copy.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to read it because
the cover is the old Avalon Theater.
Oh, come on.
And when he writes about walking in back in the days, I know you grew up on the north side with
the
Granada.
Well, but I've been to the south side theater.
Okay.
So,
but you can appreciate this.
Palaces.
Because Lee wanted to get things correct. He went, as he was writing this, he drove to the Avalon Theater. It was closed. He kind of walked up. There was a guy there who was like a guard. He said, is there any chance I can come in? The guy let him come in and sit. And Lee looked around and just wrote about it.
Oh, man.
You're going to be all over this.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's just beautiful. You know, we've talked, you know, a lot on this show about the old movie palaces and the fact that going to the movies now is so not as good as it used to be. All of the, you know, all the theaters are cookie cutter. They all look exactly the same. They're all AMC. They're all multiplexes. There's very few movie palaces left in the city. You know, I mean, we've got the Pickwick and Park Ridge. We got the Music Box. We got a couple on the south side.
They've even been cut up.
Yeah, well, the Pickwick is still, you know, they've got extra theaters, but they're in the back.
Oh, okay.
And the Music Box is still one theater.
Absolutely.
And they actually restored the Portage, too.
Yes.
And the patio.
Mm-hmm.
And so but for people who don't remember, on the north and the south side, the east side, west side, there were theaters every 6-7 blocks.
Yeah.
And they were beautiful.
They were palaces.
And I can remember walking blocks away, you would see this beautiful tower of the Avalon Theater sticking out. I mean, it was a destination. And that was back in the days of not one, but two full-length features with the cartoons before, the cartoons in the middle.
Right.
It was an evening experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got dressed up.
I went to the movies, you know, like I'm a little younger than you guys, but when I started going to the movies, you know, like in the late 60s, early 70s is really when it began for me. And the movie theaters that my father and I would go to on Sunday morning were all the theaters in the Loop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the McVickers, the Roosevelt, the State Lake,
the Congress,
the Chicago Theater, Michael Todd, the Woods, the Oriental.
Yeah.
But now, when I started going, I got to say, they weren't in great shape by that point.
No.
Like in the early 70s, they were grindhouses at that point. You know, and a lot of them showed like triple features of kung fu movies and stuff like that. I mean, I grew up on blaxploitation movies and horror films and stuff like that. But they still had this air about them. Like when you walked in it was just like, this is so cool. And they, you know, they had the lounges downstairs.
Yeah. And sofas just, and the lounges.
And then when they reopened, like they closed the Chicago Theater down. And then they reopened it in 1986. It had been closed for a few years. Mm-hmm. They reopened it in 1986. And I remember they showed Hoosiers. It was the first movie they showed there. And we went, Roy and I mm-hmm. and a bunch of people went. And I remember walking into the theater and I almost passed out mm-hmm. because of the renovations that they did and how beautiful they made it look. And you know, and there's so many of those old, like one of the most beautiful theaters in the city is the Uptown Theater. And it's been sitting there with nothing for years.
And about once every year and a half, there's an article. Oh, are they going to do something? Mm-hmm. Well, are they ever going to do anything with that?
It's just, and it's so, that is an astonishingly beautiful theater. Yeah. And it's in disarray now. I mean, it's, you know, the weather has done horrible things to it. But yeah, those old, I can't wait to get that book. Yeah. I can't wait. Yeah. We got some texts here. Let me read a few.
Okay.
So you see how I actually have to put on reading glasses now, guys. Remember those days when I didn't need reading glasses? Luna says, I'm working overnight New Year's Eve into that day. Getting to spend it with them is going to make it a little less awful.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Thank you, Luna.
By the way, remind everybody you guys are going to be on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and in fact, this is going to be a kind of a historic broadcast. This New Year's Eve, 11 p.m.-ish, whenever the Hawks game ends, will come on. But starting, I think, is it going to be at 11 o'clock?
We're going to start streaming.
Oh,
cool. Okay.
From 11 till the end of the game, and then we'll
flip
the switch.
And that will be on until 3 o'clock in the morning. This will be the last New Year's Eve broadcast from the Showcase studio because, as everybody knows,
we're moving.
Next year, WGN Radio moving out of the Tribune Tower.
Will this be like our 24th in the Showcase studio?
I think this is going to be the 23rd, I think.
Okay.
And so far, we're going to have in studio performing with us Ronnie Rice of the New Colony 6. We'll also have Josh Solomon and Erica Brett from the Empty Pockets.
They're friends of the show, too. Mm-hmm. They're great. They're great.
And following her New Year's Eve Rock the 80s show at Harrah's Joliet, the incredible Lisa McClowry will be joining us, along with her guitarist, co-composer. That's going to be Vant Kopic. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We've got so many things planned, hourly countdowns, and it's just going to be a party.
Yeah. And that's going to be right downstairs in the Showcase studio, starting after the Hawks game around 11. Mm-hmm. But you'll stream starting on the
at 11.
At 11 at WGNRadio.com. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So make sure you guys tune in for that. It's going to be fun. New Year's Eve. Garland says, hello from the east end of Long Island. Always nice to hear Steve and Johnny's voices.
Mm. Oh, cool. Thank you.
Pamela says, so good to hear Steve and Johnny. Love you guys.
Thank you, Pam.
815, hi, Nick. The other night you were talking about interviewing the producer and director of The Room and how weird it was. Would you ask Steve and Johnny what their strangest interview was? And you can't say me.
Well, okay, I got nothing to say.
Strangest interview. I'll tell you one that it didn't happen at this radio station, but I will tell you one of the strangest was an interview with Chubby Checker. Chubby and I had lunch at the then London House.
Oh, yeah.
Then we went to record the
lunch
interview.
Lunch with Chubby.
And Chubby starts giving me yeah and no answers. And about 10 minutes into it, I just looked up at the engineer and I said, stop the tape. And I turned to Chubby and I said, Chubby, one of two things. If you really don't feel like doing this, we don't have to do it. If you feel like doing it, then let's have a conversation. Mm. And he was like, "Huh?" And the rest of it was a really
good
interview.
There you go. That's the worst. Yes. That's the worst when you get the no.
Especially when they're talkative off the air.
Come on, man. I mean, it's a radio. You're supposed to,
right.
You know.
Right. Yep. Well, I think Professor Erin Corey. Truly.
In fact, sometime I need to bring in.
The six hours.
This was, again, at another radio station.
Seriously.
Professor was this an IND? Yeah.
Yes.
Professor Erwin Corey is
the
in
best.
The studio.
I love Professor Erwin Corey. I love him.
We start into the interview. In the middle of the interview, some horrible thing happens in downtown Chicago, so we have to cut to the news.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And he, you know, kind of wanted to keep going. Our producer, Cheryl Morton, God bless her, she came in and she said, you know what, Erwin, we really need to go to this news. So how about, would you mind cutting a promo for us?
Oh, no.
Okay. Take him back to the production studio.
Literally, they closed the door.
And we're thinking something like, you know, this is Professor Erwin Corey. When I'm in Chicago, I listen to Steve King, blah, blah. He went on for 40 minutes. Steve King,
Well, King refers to the word Rex. Now, Rex is an imperial, and he goes on for 40
just
minutes.
Just himself.
I have this tape. I will bring it in sometime.
Please bring that in. That sounds like gold, man.
It's
oh,
hilarious.
My God. That's fantastic. One more text here, and then we got a call. 417 area code says, three Walk of Famers at the same time.
Aww.
Christmas came early. Thank you.
Oh, sweet.
Only two of them deserve to be on the Walk of Fame.
No.
I meant Steve and me.
No,
wait a minute. Hold on a second. That was an amazing, by the way, you know, you guys have been inducted to the Walk of Fame. How incredible is that day when that happens?
Yeah.
Oh.
My God.
Just, what Johnny teared up, there was one point we were sitting up there and I had to just
hold
her hand.
Look at the picture of me. And I'm sitting there, my lower lip is.
And did you have the same impression that we did? We knew it was a big deal. We didn't know it was going to affect us as emotionally as it did till we got there.
Absolutely. Without question. And the fact that my folks were with me.
Yes.
You know, first of all, I never in a million years expected to be inducted to the Walk of Fame. I never, ever thought
it. Well, you've deserved it for
a long
time.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Everybody has a price.
But we
found the right.
That day was amazing. It was just amazing. There was an outpouring of support. There were so many people there. My folks were over the moon. And to see the placement of where they put my plaque, they put me next to Roy.
Yeah.
And they put me, and on the other side is Bob Collins, and then below me is Orion Samuelson. Yeah. And I just don't understand. I mean, I just look at that and I'm like, that's astonishing that I'm, you know, and it was amazing. The whole day was unbelievable. And I was, it was just, and then the lovely Crystal Award that give you. I mean, it's just, it was a wonderful, wonderful day. One of the highlights of my life. And, you know, because all the years that I've respected this radio station, growing up listening to it. It was an amazing day, and I'm sure you guys felt the same way.
I
I couldn't help but think of Roy the entire time.
Of course.
You know? And I couldn't help but think of my mom, because I grew up listening to the radio station with her radio, which I still have, which was beside on her nightstand beside the bed, where on the top of the radio, in pencil, she had written the phone number, because Wally never gave the phone number. And one time he did, and she scribbled it very small on top of the radio, just in case she was ever going to call and get a scarf.
Right.
And I was thinking, oh, doggone it, she would not believe that we were sitting here. And the fact that we both got our own plaques as opposed to it being a combined plaque.
Yeah. And I kept thinking about my dad, who for all those years listened to Lou Boudreau and Jack Brickhouse and listened to this radio station.
Boudreau got inducted the same day I did.
Yeah.
And to be inducted on the same day as so many other amazing people, what was really fun was that Judy Pilak and I were the only ones that still work here.
Yeah.
So we were just like, we would take pictures together and go, yeah, we're still here, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to walk all over. We're going to walk on ourselves to get into the building to get to work. So, no, it was an incredible honor and a special day. And
it is going to be moved. We're told that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
They're going to try and move all the plaques.
They're not going to recycle it.
They've done a beautiful job with it, too. I mean, you know, the idea of honoring, you know, the history of this radio station is a great idea. And I can't even tell you how honored I am. Just, it's crazy, you know. And whenever anything stupid happens on this show, which is frequently, I always have to go, I have a plaque downstairs. I just want to remind everybody. So, but it's an honor. And thank you for that email. That was very cool. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. And we got some people on the phones. Everybody hang on. Thanks for your patience. Steve and Johnny are here. Hold on, guys, okay?
Sure.
All right, we'll take a break. Welcome back, everybody. Who are you? Nick DiGilio here on Thursday. I think we'll get one Triple Play Thursday, and we're going to be talking about the great weird stories behind some of your favorite Christmas songs, and we're going to ask you what your favorite Christmas songs are as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. That's the Empty Pockets, our good friends, who will be appearing with Steve and Johnny on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And that was You Know I Do. We have somebody who's been on hold. This is Juan on WGN. Hey, Juan.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Huge fan of all of you. Steve and Johnny, I'm a long-time Steve and Johnny insomniac.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to tell you guys, I actually heard Nick mention that you guys were going to be on, and I had to I actually have a real job during the day now, and I had to set my radio to make sure that I was up to call to say,
right.
I haven't talked to you guys in so long, but thanks for all the millions and millions of memories of radio, and just, I got to tell you, you guys encouraged me to do so many things. I grew up listening to you guys as a kid, to, you know, way back when at WIND and just a lot of things. But long story short, Website Wednesday Night was something you guys put on the radio, and I was not a huge computer fan at all until you guys put that on the air, and it's encouraged me to do so many different things, dabble in so much.
Nice.
I'm not a computer expert at all or anything, but yeah. It's turned me to do a regular job, 9 to 5, whatever. And I the other day I was actually, ironically, saying to myself, what made me want to do this? Because this was not my forte. I was never going to really do computers at all, but it's now turned into a career, and I have a regular job, and I'm like, well, Steve and John, you're listening to that show, and Patrick Kristen, and Michael, and
cool.
Just everything. So, and I had to call to say thanks, and all the millions of memories, and listening to you guys, and radio was, and still will always be real radio for me.
Thank you so much.
And thanks, Juan.
Speaking of Patrick, I've got to tell you guys a story about Patrick Crispin, who was a regular for 14 years on Wednesday night.
And this is an absolutely true story. Have you seen what we're going to talk about?
I don't think
Well, wait, we've got to back up. For people who don't know, we are officially grandparents. I am a Gigi, and Steve is a G-dude.
I'm the grand-dude. I refuse to be called grandpa, so it's grand-dude.
Patrick Crispin and his wife, Christine, adopted a baby April 1st of last year. And before the adoption was... actually, at first they thought they were going to get a baby girl, and they talked to us about being the baby's grandparents because they don't have a set of grandparents for this baby. And we said, oh, we'd be honored. And then all of a sudden it wasn't a girl, it was a boy, and it was official. And we were, what? We're really grandparents. And it's a crazy, wonderful feeling.
And Joseph is just an amazing kid.
And we've gone to California for his big, you know, his first birthday, and for his what they call Gotcha Day, the day that he was officially adopted by the courts. And it was wonderful. Over the weekend, a big thing happened. It was huge because at 19 months old, Joey hasn't said mama, dada, up, down, cat, dog, cookie, nothing. He's spoken no words whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that there is no, and they've had tests done, there's no intelligence problem.
Right.
He hears well. He reacts. Comprehends.
You say, close the door. He closes the door. Come here. He understands all that. He just doesn't speak. So he started therapy. And they said, okay, we think that maybe, we're going to have to start thinking about ways to draw him out. And over the weekend, Christine, they have Google Home, and she was sitting in the living room, and she tapped Google Home.
So you can say, okay, Google, what sound does a dog make?
Yep. And the dog barked, and he laughs. Okay, Google, what sound does a cat make? And he laughs, and she said, now your turn. And after they did this 6 or 7 times, he said, Google.
Oh,
His very first word. Now it's made national news.
Today. He says first word is Google.
Google.
That's
Could
fantastic.
There be anything more appropriate than Patrick Crispin?
That's
fantastic.
For his baby to say Google.
That is fantastic.
And you realize this child has not uttered a word. We know he had a voice because he laughs and cries. And for this very soft Google, and she does it 3 times on the video. So,
wow.
She did it 3 times because she wanted to make sure that this was really how he was reacting.
And he laughs, and it's your turn, Google.
Amazing. what a great story. Yeah. We got a break, guys. Hang on. Steve and Johnny are here, and we're going to talk more with them. The news is coming up after this.
You know the weatherman's the snowflakes to make this Christmas bright. And Santa's sleigh is on its way, I hear it's taking flight. But if this house ain't rocking, I'd just as soon have a lump of coal. I need a good old-fashioned Christmas from the roots of rock and roll. I want to hear some Elvis Presley, a little Brenda Lee.
Yeah.
Well, assuming that didn't break your radio, that is a song that I put together several years ago. It's Christmas from the Roots of Rock and Roll. And we just wanted to take a second and mention that that is one of a bunch of free Christmas downloads that you can get. And because the website address is so convoluted, I've done a tiny URL. It's tinyurl.com/YABB2T62. tinyurl.com/YABB2T62. And you can get a free download of that song, Christmas from the Roots of Rock and Roll. There are 7 Dwayne Eddy Christmas songs that Dwayne has been nice enough to say we could offer as free downloads. You will see a video of Johnny displaying how she makes some of her gluten-free Christmas treats.
So if you're cooking for someone gluten-free and you want to make something special for them, I give you some really super simple ideas and show you how they should look and how to put them together. And it's right there at the videos there. Then we have a photo gallery. Takes you way back 35 years ago to the Christmas when we became engaged. And then it brings you up to the present. So there's
35 years?
35 years ago. Yeah. On Christmas Eve, we were engaged.
And we'll put a link to that up on our Facebook page, too. But
And we'll do it, too. Dan, okay. We'll throw it up on our Facebook page, too. Facebook.com/NickVShow. But again, tinyurl/YABB2T62.
Right.
All right. Cool. Well, welcome back, everybody. That's Steve and Johnny. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we were just reminiscing off the air. How was your you filled in on Thanksgiving? How was that? That was great.
Fun.
Yeah. It was one of those classic. I mean, we came in the night before to get familiar with the studio because we hadn't done it in months.
Yeah.
But it was.
You guys did it downstairs, right? In the showcase.
Yes, showcase
right.
studio. Yeah.
Which was fun.
And it was one of those, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike. You get back. It just felt easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's people love it when you guys come back. You know, and I mean, well, you know, you can tell by the response that we've gotten with texts and calls.
We come back so rarely.
Yes. Now, I do want to mention that you guys, you know, one of our regular guests, who is one of my favorite regular guests, is Tom Appel. It's just, you know, and I don't even drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
interesting.
It's always a treat to have Tom on, and he helps so many people calling in, and he has such interesting take on things, and he knows so much about cars.
Yep.
ConsumerGuide.com.
Yep.
You guys are still doing a
video road test. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you can see those and what you've been driving lately.
Let's see. You can just go to cgdailydrive.com.
Right.
And then you
along
can click
the
on the
side.
Steve and Johnny's road test. I think the one we just put up a couple weeks ago, I believe it's the new Ford Fusion Sport, which is a really interesting vehicle because it is the only American manufacturer that is doing a midsize performance vehicle.
Is that right?
If you want to get a midsize performance vehicle, you need to look to Audi or BMW other than Ford.
Yeah.
So it was a whole lot of fun.
That's great. You guys enjoy doing that?
Oh, yeah. And we've been doing that for 25 years.
Easily.
Because back in the day, women weren't reviewing cars. And we realized, thanks to Jim Mattea of the Chicago Tribune at that time, he said, you know, you have a different perspective. He said, I'm not being sexist or anything, but you're looking for something different. And about that time, I reached over to change a channel or the heat or something. And I realized with a long fingernail, I was unable to do it. And I said, you're right. They're not even listening to us. And so we started doing the male-female counterpoint.
Mm-hmm. But there was something that happened earlier this week. We were testing it's the big honking Toyota Tundra.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm thinking this is fun.
Uh-huh.
Johnny gets into it and, oh boy, does she want
well,
to
actually,
be a pickup truck.
I waited until he was sleeping. And then I just went tooling around town, like, get out of my way.
And it's a giant truck.
This is literally humongoid.
I took my dad.
Did you have to have a stepladder to get into the...
For my papa.
Oh, for your dad you did? Yeah.
Yes.
I put my hands together. Here, Dad, step up in this. I can lift you up. And he's, no, oh, hell no, I can get up in this. No, I guess I can't.
Yeah.
It's really tall, and it was orange, and it was great. And I pulled into the Mariano's parking lot, and I'm like, get out of my way. And then it's so flashy that...
In fact, the only downside to it, I mean, we both fell in love with
so
this.
Cool.
The only downside to it is the obvious, the gas mileage.
Of course.
Well, wait a
minute. I mean, on a good day, I got it up to about 16 miles per gallon.
And it's gas mileage, and I would imagine parking it
Yeah.
You know, might
it's
be
got a backup camera.
Might be a, no, no, no. I'm just saying finding a parking spot if you don't have a driveway.
Yes. Well, no, you just drive over the other vehicle.
Because every time, you know, Adam Phillips, who is here tonight this morning, he's got a giant 4x4.
Yes. Yep.
And it just takes up half the parking lot downstairs. Yes. And I keep thinking to myself, now, clearly he's got a garage and he's got a driveway. But and you wouldn't have a truck like that if you didn't have a garage or a driveway. Because I can't imagine, like, I'm going to park on the street in this thing.
The other downside is you have no need for the bed of the truck. I wanted to go and buy Christmas trees just so I could have a reason to drive around. I said, can't I just go get two Christmas trees?
Hey, do we need a new refrigerator, Steve? Because
really?
I'm thinking...
An air conditioner. Look, I just throw it in the back. I need a reason to be driving around in this truck.
I remember when you guys, I mean, you guys have been doing the test drives for a long, long, long time. Because I remember wondering what was going to be in the parking lot when I would come in.
Yes.
I was like, what's going to be in the parking lot? What is Steve and Johnny driving now?
And that was really classic theater of the mind because we were doing those audio tests so you could hear the acceleration of the engine as we got on the expressway and you could hear the beep, beep, beeps and the funny sounds that the car made. So now the fun thing is we can actually do the video and you can see inside the vehicles and you can see us walk around them.
Yeah.
And talk about them. And they run about 5 or 6 minutes.
Cool.
And we don't work with the script. Somebody said to us, so when you write the script, they go, no, we just get out there after we've driven the car for a week. And then we talk about it.
Yeah. CGDriveDaily.com.
Yes.
CGDaily.com.
CGDaily.com. And I say that website at least 10 times a month when I have Tom on, and I screw it up every time unless it's in front of me, written in front of me.
Let us come in some night when Tom is in.
Oh, I would love to.
We adore him. He is a radio geek. You know, that's how he was discovered. He was a listener to the show. Long before, I think he was working at a gas station as a young guy.
And this happened when Frank Pyler, who for years was the publisher of Consumer Guide, he still publishes Collectible Automobile, but he decided to kind of cut back. And he said, you got to meet this other guy that works for Publications International.
And Tom was giddy to come in here because he had been calling into our show whenever we talked music. He's a music fiend.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the first conversations we had with him, he called in to review an Elton John concert. And he was just a kid.
Yeah.
But he loves radio, and he just is so honored to be able to walk in here. And it never gets old for him.
You know, for most of the time, we do it over the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's been in a couple of times. And but he's just so, I mean, you could, you know, callers call in, and I hit him with questions. Never once has he not intelligently and thoroughly answers every single question from whatever avenue you're going, no pun intended, you're going down. He's there. He's great. He's one of my favorite guests.
And he helps people off the air, too.
He's a greaser.
Tracy Butler's a classic example. I don't think she buys a car now unless she calls Tom.
Tracy Butler's listening, I believe.
She is listening.
Well, she's probably at work now, right?
No, she's at work. She already texted me. She said, I'm out of makeup. I'm ready. I'm listening.
Is she on the air now? She gets on at 4, right?
At 4.
Yeah.
But she's listening.
Okay. Hi, Tracy.
In fact, whenever you have time, we have a special request song for Tracy whenever you have the time to. And I believe you have not heard this.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't know if we have time for this in this segment or not. You tell me.
You had to do...
We're going to break.
Take care of business
and we'll take
back.
Care of business and we'll come back. We'll play this whole thing?
At least through the chorus.
You need to hear the chorus of Five Naked Ladies.
Okay.
It's My Dream of Christmas. This is a song that was written by Joe Martin, the Joe Martin that does the Mr. Boffo and the Willie and Ethel comic strip.
And he's Don Martin's brother, right? The illustrator from Mad Magazine?
I don't think so.
If he is, he's never told us that.
Is that right? I thought he was Don Martin's brother. The Don Martin of the infamous illustrator from Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
I thought they were brothers.
I can't believe we never talked about it.
We'll have to ask him.
But yeah.
He wrote this song on our show in July.
He walked
sitting
in
studio.
Hot July night. He comes in. We're thinking we're going to talk to him about cartoons and stuff. He walks in with a keyboard. And he said, you know, I had this, it's so hot, I had this idea for a Christmas song.
So
that's just the way his mind works.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. So you know Joe?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Willie and Ethel. All right. Here's,
love it.
It's one of the funniest things ever. Let me just just describe my favorite Willie and Ethel comic ever that I remember, and I cut it out.
Yes.
I was in high school, when I read this, and I laughed so hard, I immediately cut it out, and I don't know if I still have it somewhere in my apartment, but I saved it because it's one of the funniest things ever. Willie and Ethel in bed, okay?
Yeah.
and they're in bed, and the living room is right outside the doorway, and there's a their cat is sitting on the chair, yes. like on the arm of the chair, yes. and you can see the glow of the television on, and in the panel, Ethel's trying to sleep, and Willie is flipping through a magazine, mm-hmm. and the. And the caption says, "That cat's crazy. There's nothing on." So my favorite, I laughed my ass off the first time. I remember I was a senior in high school, and I've shown it to people all day. That cat's crazy. There's nothing on. And you just see the cat sitting on the couch with the glow of the TV. It's so funny. I love Willie and Ethel. They're great. But I have to find out if he has done. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, let's look it up because I thought maybe he was Don Martin's brother, but maybe he's not. Maybe I'm just an idiot. I don't know.
Or maybe it was disowned.
Yeah. I don't know. But Don Martin, one of my favorite illustrators of all time, one of the greatest mad illustrators. He's so distinctive, you know, the characters that he drew. God, we can go on about, we can talk about Mad Magazine if you want for another 6 hours. Wow. Okay, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic. We'll come back, we'll hear a little bit of this song, and then we'll talk about that as well. Tracy Butler, I hope you're listening, because we're going to play that song in just a couple of minutes. We'll take a break for weather and traffic.
Well, everyone, it's that time of the year again. And Santa, I hope you're listening, because this is my holiday wish. Your kind of Christmas might be snow-covered trees, sleigh bells ringing in the distance, or angels praying on their knees. But my dream of Christmas is 5 naked ladies dancing in a window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, "Hey Joe." I'd settle for 3, but it just wouldn't be Christmas. Not the way I remember it. No, it would not be the same as all together now. 5 naked ladies dancing in a window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, "Hey Joe, come on up here in this window and fiddle with our mistletoe."
We'll okay, there it is. I hope that
marvelous Christmas Eve.
Now here it gets interesting.
This is the dramatic part.
Yes.
They will clear my path. They will light my way. They will warm my soul on the coldest day. They will live forever. They'll fail, no, never. In my dream, Santa, hear me, hear my plea. I need just 5 naked ladies dancing in the window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, "Hey Joe." For 3, but it just wouldn't be Christmas. Not the way I remember it. No, it would not be the same as all together now. 5 naked ladies dancing in the window.
Sing along, Nick.
Calling out my name, oh, yelling out, "Hey Joe."
Wow.
Hey, hey.
Hey, Joe.
You know, they don't write Christmas songs like that anymore.
No, they don't.
Those old standards.
We're
going to
talk
so
about
good.
Christmas songs after the break, after the news.
That became so popular that he released a single CD that people could purchase.
I think you can still get it on his website, MrBoffo.com, I believe.
And you would love the cover. He did an illustration of the guy.
Oh, well, there's a video, too.
Yes, there is a video. That's right.
Yeah,
we created a monster.
Video.
Well, look at the cover of it. You can see the illustration he did. The guy shoveling
did you
the
see
snow.
The,
yeah.
You see where the guy shovels into the snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, he's the guy, as a cat lover, you've got to love his strip, Cats with Hands.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's a very strange dude.
Have we
just totally destroyed your show?
No.
Well,
no.
It's officially Christmas.
If anything, you classed it up.
And Tracy Butler from Channel 7 says, thank you.
Tracy Butler, listening. Very cool.
God bless her.
Steve and Johnny are here. And tell everybody again, give everybody the details on how they can spend their New Year's Eve with you.
Yes.
We're going to be here following the Blackhawks game.
But be here at 11 for
we'll
our
be
cheap
streaming.
Date. Yes. And remember, it's our cheap date, Life After Dark, New Year's Eve extravaganza. No dress code, no cover charge, so you can be naked.
No pants.
No pants.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
No pants.
Because we have more people without pants, as you do now, PWPs.
And this will be the final New Year's Eve show from the Showcase Studio.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Ronnie Rice and the Empty Pockets and Lisa McClowry and countdowns from all the time zones and a whole bunch of fun.
So go to WGN Radio on the night of New Year's Eve at 11 o'clock. You'll be able to watch the stream. And
right.
Then we'll flick the switch
as soon as the
Hawks are done.
The Hawks
coverage
is over. Yeah.
We'll flick the switch and then we'll go live on the radio until 3 o'clock.
It's going to be great. You guys will be here till 3 a.m. It's always great to have you guys back
Thank
on the
you.
Air here. It's so great. I love talking with you guys. You
Thank
guys are the best.
Oh, back you time
this is
so
fun.
Fast.
Yeah.
Thanks
it's the best. And, you know, one of the things that I always want to emphasize to everybody who's listening and to you guys is how much you guys helped me. Through the years and supported me and had me on your show and went to bat for me when there were program directors who wanted to punch me in the mouth repeatedly.
That'll be a chapter in the book, too.
But yes. You guys, you seriously are a big part of why I'm sitting here right now.
Well,
and I want to thank you guys personally for that. A Little More Less, the book is available.
It is available. You can go to alittlemoreless.com, spell less with one S, alittlemoreless.com, or you can call 312-912-8639. The number again, 312-912-8639.
All right, cool. And also, one more mention, your brother Lee has a book called Safe Inside.
Yeah, and it is, again, not just because he's my brother. This is a wonderful book. You should go to Eckhart's Press, Eckhartzpress.com. Just look up Safe Inside. This is a terrific book about a kid growing up on the south side of Chicago in the 40s who uses movies as an escape from some of the realities he's dealing with.
Right.
And it's a terrific, terrific
And it's book. Such a great story. He's 80 and he's got a book coming out.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
really amazing. Okay, guys, so much fun talking
Thank
to you.
You.
It's
Thank
always
you.
A pleasure
Have
having
a
you
Merry Christmas.
Facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. We have a link on our Facebook page for all the stuff that we've been talking about. And make sure you tune in on New Year's Eve. 11 o'clock on the streaming, and then whenever the Hawks are over after 11-ish till 3 a.m. for the New Year's Eve show. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Nick.
Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you guys soon. We got to take a break here. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.